Tuesday, 10th of June, 165th day of the new year. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor out of the first, Mr. Bone.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Day by day, step by step, right?
Graduations are been going on, and now they're, you know, the last couple days.
So you're not focusing on the Oyster Festival, huh?
We got the Oyster Festival going on. Oyster Festival's going on, too.
This way, we got a bunch of different things to talk about, starting probably with the budget. But before we do, our quote this morning, let's see if we can find one here. William James, quote, "To improve the golden moment of opportunity and catch the good that's within our reach is the great art of life."
Is that Jeff Foxworthy?
Yeah, right.
Sorry.
So you're looking at the budget. You guys got it a week plus ago. What got you most excited positively about this? Don't use Measure Z because that's a different ballgame. What got you excited about the standing budget?
I love the presentation that the department heads and the staff are bringing to us. I mean, and their wants and their needs and their successes and not so successes. The IT upgrades. It's so funny that the one guy that still operates with a flip phone loves the IT upgrades and everything else because it increases. You know, one of our mission statements is to increase. We'll spend money where we can increase efficiencies, and you know, electronically is one of the ways they can do that. So, you know, seeing those things come around and just having the employees and the staff department heads work with us because, I mean, we're no different than any other municipality or anything else that's going on. We're having some tough times. Financially, things are, you know, and we've talked a lot of it is to create the pensions that are out there and to make sure that the pensions that we promised our current employees that are going to be taking them in the future. So
there have got to be a sizable percentage or a sizable number rather of individuals who have retired pre, say, this recession, so pre-09,
mm-hmm,
that were on the gravy train, certainly by today's standards. Is there any opportunity to go back and look at those folks to see if there is something that can be done to adjust that?
Well, I know Stockton, Detroit, I know they've all looked at it, but they had to go through the bankruptcy process to do it. So I think just saying, hey, you know, we're really tight on cash. We've got to, you know, cut
We're trying
these
to avoid going yeah. into bankruptcy.
Yeah.
We'd like to have a 5% relief.
I don't know. We haven't hit that stage yet. We haven't, you know, that, well, maybe we have, but we haven't declared that we've hit that stage. So that hasn't been in the conversation. I know obviously that the board 3 years ago changed, you know, a little bit before the state went to the 2% instead of the 2.75%, you know, went to 62 instead of 55 and public safety to 55, which will make a big difference, but that's going to be 8 to 12 years down the line. So that's, I mean, but that's still going to make a difference. Because you're not going to be having those people going out at 50 and 55. They're going to
Yeah, it won't be compounding, but as far as relief in the immediate
direct relief, no, there is no direct relief. But you know, the other thing is it used to be the situation was we hired people, we made contractual agreements, we said this is what you're going to get paid, this is what your retirement's going to be, and those are what we live by, and that's what we're going to abide by, or try to. I mean, barring all difficulties. I mean, I've had numerous friends retire from government, you know, police, fire, management positions, and things like that. And they always say anybody could have taken this job at 23 years old, 25 years old.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bone. Rex, looking at the budget, we asked, you know, what got you excited? What's the most disturbing thing that you saw on the budget?
Getting a handle on aviation, the downturn in fuel sales, the downturn in gatings. I mean, people coming in, you know, disembarking and embarking.
But those aren't surprises.
No, it's disappointment that we haven't done anything yet, and there's been so much effort put forth. There's been so much effort put forth that, and we have to meet so many standards, TSA, federal standards, you know, things like that.
You're talking about the gas. Well, the Coasties put in their own thing a while ago.
That hurt.
I know that you've got buddies that fly, like I've got buddies that fly, and they say Humboldt County's gas at the airport is the most expensive in the state. I get that. No surprise. I mean, so buying out of area makes sense. I mean, you were in the biz, you know.
No, but we've had this discussion, and I'm not so sure that, you know.
Is this a lack of action that is the concern? Because certainly the cards were on the table.
I think it's the ratio that they've probably always been making. I think Tom and I sat down because I had a couple phone calls from a couple good friends. Says, hey, they stopped in Red Bluff and fueled, and Crescent City and fueled. You know,
Santa Rosa,
and you know,
Micaiah,
and so
yeah.
I says, you know, we need to look at this, and I think he's looking at it, but you know. Because it's a big number, and it's just because you have a plane doesn't mean you have unexpendable, you know, income. You still have to watch your P's and Q's, and you got to understand some of them are small charters, and they really have to watch their dollars to be competitive. So with that, I think that's something else we're looking at.
And obviously, you know, the big elephant is attracting somebody. Penn Air is the one that's been talked about in the media.
Well, fine.
That's cool, but.
I mean, Ray Charles could see that's probably the obvious one, because they're going to be in Crescent City. They're getting funded, you know, they're getting a heck of a rural underwriting to go into Crescent City. I don't know.
And they're
obviously,
in Medford. They're not the region.
They're in Medford, and it's regional, and I imagine they would make the loop to Reading.
Let me ask you the question then that I asked Estelle. Do we deserve an airport? Can we afford an airport?
I don't think we can afford not to have an airport.
But if we're losing money, $500,000 this year?
Yeah.
Can we afford an airport?
I don't think we can afford not to have one. I mean, we don't make money off our roads. We lose money on our roads, but we need roads. The biggest thing with an airport, and I was here in 64.
So was I. I just wasn't as cognizant as you are.
Well, and I can tell you, they flew your diapers in at that time, too, just so you know, in 64. So, but I'm just saying.
I hope I was out of them in 64.
I remember my biggest thing is because my dad was in the grocery business, had a little grocery store, but one of his best friends was Bill Beckman, and who had the Laura Scudder distributorship. He was SOL. He had nothing because potato chips took up so much volume. Space-wise, but with no weight. So they wouldn't aircraft that in. They were aircrafting food in. They were bringing, you know, a lot of the day-to-day things in because, I mean, I think we were isolated for 9 days, 10 days with 299, had some big constraints. 101 was completely out. 299 got opened a little bit sooner. But we had some, you know, we had the problems up at Klamath. So we were actually isolated. So they were bringing everything.
There'd be no bridge.
Huh?
A little problem.
Yeah,
no
yeah.
bridge.
Yeah. But we were bringing everything in and out by air. And,
yeah, the airlift.
Yeah. yeah. And it was huge. And commerce. Commerce does have to, requires us for us to do business.
Certainly. But
to
be running one wheel when you designed it for three, to be losing money, to be trying to, I won't say stab because that's a little bit judgmental, but let's say premium pricing. Because you don't think there's any other competition? I mean, there's some basic fundamental things here we got to look at, I would think. Because what, you know, if I said, here's a check for $500,000, Rex, where are you going to spend it?
Yeah.
You're not going to run it to the airport. You're probably going to throw it to the roads, or you're going to throw it to public safety. Okay, fine. But now we're having to throw
one
it to
of these
the airport.
Guys, I'm one of the silly ones. I'm thinking roads and public safety almost go hand in hand because the way some of these rural roads are.
Well,
I mean,
certainly.
Trying to, for response times, you know, and wear and tear and things like that. But and you're right. And the aviation, I know Tom Mattson. I know the interim director out there, Emily. I know they're working on it. I know we are right on the edge of being too small a county to have this much aviation, but we're just at that right size where we have to have that much aviation.
The other question I'd ask Estelle, and then we'll move on. What percentage of the, as you know, most of our buddies are driving to Santa Rosa and flying, they're driving to Oakland and flying, they're driving to Redding or Medford and flying. Of those who are flying out of this airport, what percent are government employee or government employed related schools, districts,
between the university, elected, the county, and all that and stuff like that?
The non-private sector. Well, any idea?
I would imagine 35-40%, because 35-40% of the, I keep hearing the number 35-40% of everybody unemployed is employed by a government agency.
So you throw in school kids coming to Humboldt.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you want to, I mean, at the end of the day, we're all probably.
I just wonder how many regular guys are using the airport, how many regular guys are driving because of the price. And however they arrive at the price, different topic.
Yeah, and I checked a flight the other day just because I always like to look, and I think it was Costa Rica, and it was like $727 from here.
From Oakland.
It was like $694, and it was like $708 from Sacramento. And it would just crack me up that it would just fell into that void, you know. But my flight to San Francisco was $449 round trip.
Boy, so. It must be really tough headwinds to hit south of San Francisco.
Yeah, it's all downhill to Central America. Yeah. but I'm just I do believe we have to have the airport. I mean, it's.
But in the current configuration, I think that's the question.
Yes,
it's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to talk shop with Rex Bone. Rex, looking at the budget overall, it appears to me, and this is just historical looking at poundage, that this has got to be an easier to look at, easier to follow budget because of the sheer volume. I can remember Anna and some of the supervisors of the past bringing in 3-inch D-ring, and this was one of multiple. Well, for the budget.
It's now, one of the things I always wanted to thank Jimmy Smith for. That's the one thing he left me, a whole shelf of budgets.
Yeah, okay.
So he left 12 years of budgets.
You can see and the shelf kind of bending
and
in
I,
there.
And I put and yeah. I bring them all out because it has, well, it has reference of how many employees each department has. So I can look back and, you know, people are saying, well, I'm doing more with less. And you're going, well, you had the same. But I know volumes have changed.
Well, the fear that I've got, and then you can speak to it, is that it's so thin that the data isn't there, or if it is there, it's now convoluted and wrapped differently so that you can't really see the information you're looking for. And when you call the department head, maybe you get the information or maybe it's unavailable.
When you look at this, and I've looked at a whole bunch of different of the aspects of it, and it's really not, all the information's there. It's just there's a lot more graphs, a lot more pie chart type things and stuff like that, which makes it a lot more accessible, readable.
The county has embraced Ronald Reagan?
Yeah.
But you can use the line. It's all right. That'll put some people on their heels, won't it?
I've got Ronald Reagan stickers in my office. I just, you know. I liked his movies. I liked his politics.
Is it easier for the regular guy to get to the information today?
I believe so. I have some people telling me, boy, it's sure easy to access on their website. And I have other people saying, the website is terrible. I can't get on to anything. And
just even with the budget.
You know, yeah, but on the budget, on the budget part of it, it is easy to access. It is pretty, what's the word they like to use, transparent. And I'm always going, well, I don't want to see through it. I want to see it. Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah. Make it opaque.
Yeah,
make
it
opaque.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, it is. And it's an easy read. It's an easy read. Not that the other one wasn't an easy read. It's just more definitive, I guess, would be the word. It was almost like they were getting paid for every word rather than actually putting out what just, you know, Dragnet, just the facts, ma'am.
So now you guys have got the budget in front of you. You've got the Z recommendations, which I understand are folded into this.
Yes.
When do you pull the trigger and say thumbs up or thumbs down to the budget?
I think we have our budget hearings.
Next week?
We had our budget hearings on Monday.
And are you voting on it on the 16th?
I think it's the 23rd.
Okay.
We're going on the 23rd. I think I might actually have to miss the meeting. My first meeting in over 3 years. I'm going to have to miss a meeting on the 16th. I've got to go down to a broadband hearing in Sacramento.
How'd you get on that committee?
I've been working on, I've been working quite a bit with broadband and internet issues, both with Ferndale, but especially with Petrolia Honeydew, the rural aspect of it, which affects us quite a bit out here. Petrolia Honeydew schools have a hard time doing their core testing because they don't have enough width to do it all to stay on to actually handle it. And so I got involved with that, and then with Frontier buying Verizon's landlines out. Verizon, Gary at Verizon, the area manager, has stepped up, and they're actually we've got a grant, and they're actually going to come. They're stepping their game up, and we're going to be installing some equipment to help that extreme rural area. But still, there's a couple thousand people out there that, you know, need to have that access. So I've been working on it, and when it came up the last time, I got put on the committee, and I've gone to about three of these conferences and stuff like that. It's pretty interesting stuff for a dinosaur like me.
Oh.
I'm texting now, by the way.
Really?
Yes. I actually don't have a flip phone anymore.
Yeah.
Really? They're very short.
Out the language, too.
Very short and everything else. And
well, yeah, those two-word phrases that you use regularly don't take a lot of time.
I just found out the other day if I push that little button that has the microphone on it,
yeah,
I can actually, it'll actually do it for you. But then after about the first week of that, people were telling me, what do you, and so I found out you have to look at what it says because it doesn't always decipher exactly.
Yeah. Spell check. Yeah.
I'm jumping right into the 21st century both feet, baby.
Yeah. Just don't get hurt too bad.
Yeah, no kidding.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:42. We'll be back with more from Rex Bone.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:44. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bone. Rex, the budgets itself, in general terms, what is your level of confidence that the state is not going to pull something that is going to render this thing entirely, it'll cause a revise? I mean, some of the stuff that Brown is doing with the drought, now you got to worry about that, or there's penalties coming through. And I know it's not the county, but it's impacting the county.
No, I understand. And
et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
We were at a ledge platform a couple weeks ago down in Sacramento, and Jerry Brown talked, and it was CSAC, which is all the counties, and 350 people in the room, and he came out, and he just basically said, since he's giving some of this PILT money back, he's relaxing some of this stuff, he's not, they've got a $7 billion surplus. I mean, they've got a pretty strong budget right now, the state has, and they've got it.
Well, it's easy when you shoot the bills down to the next guy down the road.
Exactly. And when you take all the programs and say, hey, you're right, you would manage them better here. It cost us $10 million to run it. You run it, and I'll give you five. You're exactly right. And I think he realizes that. And I think slowly, not wanting to give up, he's building up his reserves. I don't think he's going to give us money to build our reserves. But he is being aware that we've got to have some of this money back. And both with CSAC and RCRC, we're lobbying very, very hard, especially the rural counties, on transportation monies. He's got a lot of money in his budget going to transportation and local transportation.
Now, does that mean roads, or does that mean?
Roads. Not the crazy, not just the bullet train.
Well, like, or public transit or the airports or other things that lose money.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, things seem to be cattywampus. And, you know, cool that he came in front of the 350 of you.
Yeah.
But did anybody block the door before he tried to leave to really get the opportunity to
get some
information?
I think he's getting pounded pretty heavy. But, I don't know. He's on his second term. I don't know. He doesn't have to impress anybody. He doesn't have to do anything. I mean, you know, he can just kind of. But he's only got 3 years or whatever, 2 years, whatever it is, left to build any of his legacy. So, you know, some of his legacy is you know, he's looking at the pension reform a little bit, you know, that he came in at the end with. I think the water tunnels is what he was thinking. I think the bullet train he was thinking was going to be a little bit of legacy. The other thing he can do is he can come back and he can leave and say, hey, all my counties were in great shape. The state was in great shape when I got through with my second shift.
He can't say that.
You know, I don't know if
he can. But he's also saying the state economy is back.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I don't know, you know, other than two or three hamlets. It isn't for the state.
Marin's doing really well.
Yeah, great. San Francisco, and San Diego.
Yeah, and there are some things
going on. The metropolitan areas.
Yeah, the metropolitan areas are doing a lot better.
It doesn't do squat for most of us, though.
Than the rural areas. And the rural areas are still struggling. And you know, I don't know. You know, we don't talk much about it. I know last week we had a couple more bills passed on marijuana. I don't know if that guarantees us any money. I know there's avenues for us to make money off of marijuana or cannabis
or
whatever we're calling it now. But
marijuana works
for
me.
You know, I think there's a whole bunch of people working on this, trying to share the wealth. It's going to be hard for a lot of people to that haven't been sharing the wealth to now share their wealth on the auspice of, you know, being a legal commodity. So, and
I really
in 2016.
We're not hoping that the county budget, the state budget, is going to be balanced on marijuana.
I think they'd probably have to drug test us if they thought it was going to be.
I do think there is going to be
some monies in it. I know Colorado is experiencing some growth, but they're also experiencing some growth on the social side too.
Yeah,
so
the cost,
there's cost both ways. So we have to weigh all those factors.
In looking at the structure for the county, with the departments as they were presenting, I know there's an awful lot of focus going into DHHS now to do it differently, do it better. Okay, results-oriented outcomes, that kind of thing. Are there other departments that ought to be under that same microscope, looking at either doing it better or focusing on outcome rather than process?
You know, I've got a, you know, I'm not going to single anybody out. I think... or throw anybody under the bus. DHHS is going to be looked at just because it's 53, 54. I mean, it's the biggest animal in the room.
And turnover.
It's got the most people, and it's got a lot of turnover. It's had a lot of issues lately. I know that is I don't want to say common, but I know that does happen in a large organization, especially like DHHS, because a lot of the work they do is ugly work. I mean, it's not. I mean, they have to deal with situations that most of us don't want to deal with, and they have to deal with a lot of them. So we've got
right, but we're not talking the individual; we're talking structural.
No, we're talking
that's
structural.
Different.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And we have to, and you're right. We want to look at more results oriented, or at least letting us know that we are getting results. I think that's, you know, and that I've had this conversation with Mr. Crandall that I know you're doing great work, but tell me about it sometime, you know, and things like that. So I think that's what we're looking at, and I know he's talking about, or he is leaving, and so you know that's the other part of the thing. It's, do we bring in somebody that has a different look, still with the integrated health, or do we revamp? I mean, there's so many avenues that we have to look at, and with that being such a big part of our budget and our county, that's one of the things you really have to look at because it is one of the big drivers.
You didn't want to end it by saying that, but I will let you. Thanks for coming by. We've been talking shop this morning with Rex Bone. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone else.